Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Let's see. This show starts at 9 o'clock. I think Joe Sebelia ought to be docked a half day's pay. He's here at 9 o'clock and 49 seconds. Now he's moving
around
the equipment. He's late. That's definitely.
You know, I always give him trouble because he's always showing up like a minute before the show. And I said, you're going to be late one day.
He
shows
very
up 40 seconds, 46 seconds into the show.
Yeah, he's going to say it's the misty rain out there. It's a little bit of mist. That's what threw his
blame it on the fog.
Blame it on the fog. He's in a fog already. He's scrambling now.
He's getting his headphones on.
Yes.
He's here now, Dom.
Yeah,
now, in fairness, Dom, in fairness, I left at about 8:35 this morning.
So what?
You're so I sat in traffic for 25 minutes.
Walking?
No, I took an Uber. Very funny. Very funny. You know what? Laugh it up, everyone. Laugh it up.
All right. My goodness.
You got it.
All right. We'll have the sounds. I got to mark that down, Dan, too. I didn't have the sounds of the week here in a slot. I know where to put it now. This has been an incredible week. Thanks so much to everyone who participated. And we have a lot going on nationally that I want to get to. The number one thing is they're settling all the family business. You know there's going to be an outcry. It looks like our buddy, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, is going to be moved out of the deep, deep state into some other job where he can't cause damage. And you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear, oh, this is like the old country. That's why they came here from Lithuania. And to get away from the old country, the Vindman twins. Now, I've never seen a guy that it was more universal military people going after him simply because he went out of the side of the chain of command big time. He didn't even try. He crawls with hatred of President Trump. So the Trump administration is looking at the best way to move this guy out of the position he's in now. And I completely support that. We have a lot of stuff with Nancy Pelosi. Dan's been working overtime on this. Wow. I haven't asked this, Dan, and Joe is more on this. You know, I think Italians have arrived in America enough, right? Even though we haven't had, Joe, an Italian-American president or a Polish-American president, Dan. But arriving at that, this is an embarrassment. I don't know. Is it a bigger embarrassment to women, to human beings, to Catholics, or to Italians? I love to hear Italians say, yeah, that's right. You know, this woman is just a huge, huge embarrassment. She arguably has gotten to the highest level of any Italian-American, right? Speaker of the House, couple of heartbeats away from the presidency. So, Joe, do you concur with that?
Certainly.
Thank you. I know you're getting your thoughts together. All right. 855-839.
Come on, Dom. The man's just taking off his jacket.
Let me get settled in. Right, my orange.
All right. It's that Joe gave us.
I didn't ask for this.
Yeah, Joe has given us a great Sebelia today. Nanny Bloomberg. We'll play that for you in a little bit. So Pelosi, after yesterday, really has an unbelievable press conference. But I want to make sure I get to this early on, because this is what people don't understand about talk radio. I'm sitting in the Barco Lounger. I'm watching Tucker Carlson, as I do every night. He's one of the smartest guys, if not the smartest guy on TV, even when I differ with him on some things. He's got something that I told the Montgomery County people about. They didn't know about this yet, and now they're moving on it. And that's due to listeners. In other words, last night, I'll play you, Dan, the opening. It's about 2 minutes of Tucker, this nugget that he found. This is a bill that is geared around, it seems to be, MS-13. Now, you know MS-13, the president calling them animals and all the things associated with that, and Pelosi. How about The Face of Divinity in Every Human Being with MS-13? Well, Tucker Carlson last night talked about this bill, Moving Immigrants Forward. And this bill essentially says that we're not going to go after these alien felons, gang members. They will no longer be subjected to deportation. They'll be allowed, if they were deported, to be returned to the U.S. at taxpayer expense. Now, I don't think the Senate would ever pass this, but you don't know. He made the point. I was going to make the point with this. This is why the stakes are so hard. So listen to his analysis breaking this down. And while you're listening, if you're out there, particularly in the suburbs in Montgomery County, not one, not two, but three listeners immediately sent me an email. I don't know. I might have looked it up. You know, we're inundated with work. Sometimes something this big, I look it up, and you know what I'm looking for. I'm looking to see if any of these local Democrats dared sign on to this. It's only 40 co-sponsors. It's like Tlaib, Omar, the most radical Democrats. And this simpering fool, this moralizer, remember how much we talked about Mitt Romney yesterday? What bothers me the most with the Dean of Decency, she's always lecturing about decency. Madeline Dean is the co-sponsor of what I'm going to play you that Tucker Carlson's talking about. And if you saw any of this last night, if you didn't, Google it and go back and take a look at it on Fox. It's chilling what they want to do. Do people in Montgomery County know this? Now, the Inquirer's not going to tell you if you're out there. The Evening News, they're not going to tell you this. Tucker Carlson's the only one that I saw that knew about this. And then thanks to listeners, I knew our buddy, the captain of the practice squad, the Dean of Decency, is one of the co-sponsors to keep MS-13 here, to keep other vicious gang members. Gang members. Listen to Carlson riff on this at the top of his show.
At this moment, there's a bill pending in the Congress called the New Way Forward Act. It's received almost no publicity, and that's unfortunate, as well as revealing. The legislation is sponsored by 44 House Democrats, including Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's roughly 4,400 words long. That means it's almost exactly as long as the U.S. Constitution. Like the Constitution, it's designed to create a whole new country. The bill would entirely remake our immigration system with the explicit purpose of ensuring that criminals are able to move to the United States and settle here permanently with immunity. Now, you may think we're exaggerating for effect, but we're not exaggerating, not even a little bit. The New Way Forward Act is the single most radical piece of legislation we have ever seen proposed in this country, ever. It makes the Green New Deal look like the status quo. A document produced by Democrats to promote the bill says this, and we're quoting it verbatim. Convictions should not lead to deportation, end quote. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about convictions for double parking or even for DUI. The bill targets felony convictions, serious crimes that could send you to prison for years and should. A press release from Congressman Jesus Garcia of Illinois is explicit about this. Garcia brags that the bill will break the, quote, prison to deportation pipeline, something most of us were for. So how does the bill do that? Well, under current U.S. law, legal U.S. immigrants can be deported if they commit a, quote, aggravated felony or a crime of moral turpitude, that is a vile, depraved act like molesting children. Under the New Way Forward Act, crimes of moral turpitude are eliminated entirely as justification for deportation. And the category of aggravated felony gets eliminated, too. So what does that mean? Consider this. Under current law, immigrants who commit serious crimes, robbery to fraud to child sexual abuse, must be deported regardless of the sentences they receive. Other crimes, less severe ones like racketeering, require deportation if the perpetrator receives at least a one-year sentence. Under this bill, there would no longer be any crime that automatically requires deportation, none. And one crime, falsifying a passport, would be made immune from deportation no matter what, because apparently 9/11 never even happened, and we no longer care about fake government documents. By the way, if you just renewed your driver's license to comply with the Real ID Act, you must feel like an idiot, because immigrants are getting a pass, you're not.
All right, we have more of what he said, 855-839-1210. So, is Montgomery County really that enamored with the Dean of Decency? I just learned about it last night. I had a column yesterday. Spectacular response. Thank you very much. I don't write until 2 weeks. Maybe I'll ask him to write this one next week. Maybe. Because They like the Montgomery County stories. What in the world is going on here? It's a rogues gallery of Democrats, progressives that can get away with it. You heard what he said, Tlaib, Omar, AOC. Those are members of the squad. The dean must want to, Dan must want to be a member of the squad. The Presley woman hasn't been around too much. Maybe the dean of decency doesn't want to be on the practice. She's like Greg Ward. She's tired of being on the practice squad. Maybe the dean of decency wants to be on the big squad, the AOC squad, the national squad. Would Montgomery County go along with this stuff? In what universe are we living? Think about this. Even in Philadelphia, I think you could get away with it, but maybe, maybe not. Maybe you could, but you'd like to keep it quiet. Out there in Montgomery County, though, is this the type of thing that people want? Yeah, Dan.
Trump actually responded already. I don't know if you saw this. On Twitter, he quote tweeted Tucker Carlson, who put out a similar message to what he did last night. And Trump replied, "Don't worry, it won't happen."
Right. I got that, but it shows you what the stakes are. And here's the thing. Madeline Dean must believe there's some political gain by putting her name on this, or she believes in this for Montgomery County. I don't know if it's the mushroom farms or whatever the heck she's thinking of, or what kind of contributor. She's got to pay a political price. This is as blatant as it gets. Thanks for telling me that President Trump even tweeting it out. This was shocking what Carlson has. No one else has it, and no one else locally is talking about it. And connecting, thanks to listeners, this is how talk radio works. Let me make one other talk radio connection, too. One of the best guys in our area, one of the best law enforcement guys I've ever seen, is the chief of police out in Abington. Patrick Malloy. We had him on twice. Last Friday, I guess it was, or last Thursday. It was maybe last Thursday when it was breaking. These outrageous anti-cop remarks by this progressive who snuck on to the school board there. Then we had him on the other day. And he said that publicly at the meeting, Dan, tell me if I'm right. I mean, it was more than one person. There were people coming up demanding that he rebuke my show and apologize for coming on the Dom Giordano show. All right, that this is, we're Satan here. You know, that talk radio, how dare he go on that show? I take this as the highest mark of honor in a place like that, that this is what people are demanding. You see why they don't like talk radio? They don't like talk radio because stories like the Klayman story, we're able to break it loose with people. And that meant more people came there, more people are watching her. There's more of that stuff going on. And the suburbs responded very well. Hundreds of people turned out to push back against this. All righty, 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. Coming up, your calls, and I'll give you the side question of the day. And I want to play Joe Sebelia's salute to Nanny Bloomberg. We'll have to play this once a week to remind people. He's lurking out there. Another big debate tonight. Is Joe Biden going to be one of these guys? There have been guys that have spent an unbelievable amount of money and end up with zero delegates, something like that. Jeb Bush was one. He spent $125 million. John Connolly was another in the past. Is that where Joe is headed? Think about those people. Remember Jeb Bush? We never got a call about Jeb Bush, even attacking him. The only thing we remember about him was low energy. Trump. That's Trump's best insult ever. Some of them, like Lion Ted and all, they're okay. But low energy. When he said that about Jeb Bush, you talk about on the money.
Oh, God.
This is not the truth.
What's going on here? That's just too good. We're too enriched. Dan's at the controls. He has too much material to choose from. That woman with Bloomberg is just giving us, we'll have the sounds of the week a little bit later on. You can give us one at Twitter.
You got it.
Thank you. At Dom Show 1210. You know why we're here. And then the Undertaker comes out.
Do you know why we are here tonight? You do?
And stretching
why
out
are we
the
here
tonight.
Tonight.
Oh, my God. And, Dan, it's being called like a Sixers pregame. The lights go down and the whole thing. That's what it's like with the Undertaker coming out. He is an Undertaker. You know, we need an even better one. Joe's nanny Bloomberg. He is a nanny, too. We'll play that for you, too, coming up. But last night, our guy went to a Chinese restaurant to reassure Philadelphia about the coronavirus. Now, look, I have not even talked about it yet. We have a cut of Shannon Bream last night that we'll play. With a brigadier, was it a general, right? Robert Spalding.
Yeah, Brigadier General.
Brigadier General, taking a look at what's going on in China, and some of these videos look like the apocalypse has hit. This is a really serious concern. But, of course, because it's with a group, Asians in Philadelphia, particularly Chinese, that Kenny can bash everybody else with, he goes and has a Chinese meal last night. Now, the first thing I noticed is he's drinking Coke. He's got a Coke can there. I want to know how many Cokes
he has.
Well,
what's wrong with drinking Coke?
Well, I know, but, you know, the soda tax and obesity,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if he has a thing and they douse him in Coke, you know? I'm fine with that. And I just thought, this is a scene, if you remember in Jaws, where the mayor... That character actor, Joe, what's his name in Jaws?
I have to look that up, but okay. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's great. You're going to sign, you know. Tells the chief to go in the water. Martin, go in the water. Show everybody you're going in the water. So here's Jim Kenny. You know, order the shrimp dumplings. You got to order them. You got to go. Everybody's got to go and eat Chinese this weekend.
Yeah, the mayor was Murray Hamilton, portrayed by Murray Hamilton.
That guy was great. I think he was better in Jaws 1, but he was great in Jaws 2. So what else should Jim Kenny do to assure us of the safety of various things in Philadelphia?
I'm dying at one of the answers on Twitter.
The one about, all right, he ought to strip naked and run through the horticultural gardens to tell us our plants are safe.
That's a fantastic one as well.
That is fantastic, Jim. Strip down, run through the gardens so we can tell everybody there's no problem with the plants there.
WNY Yankee is the one I was laughing at, though. He says he can go and eat gas station sushi.
That's not the side question of David. Oh, my God. The stuff that people... Seinfeld that won the movie theater hot dogs. And that hot dog, that's a perfectly rational act.
Just to go to all the street meat vendors in the city and taste some of their food.
Well, I like walking through North Philly with a clear bag of $100 bills with no entourage with them. You know, I thought that to assure us it's safe. This
Another
is
one
safe
on Twitter, sell Girl Scout cookies in Kensington.
Yes, set up a stand right there at K&A. Sell some Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of like that. Here's what I resist with this. This is, again, because it's a minority group. That's the only reason Kenny's doing this nonsense. And if people are a little bit skeptical, now I'm not, Dan. I don't eat Chinese food that much. But I wouldn't be skeptical of it because of the coronavirus. But if people are and they have an abundance of caution, what's wrong with that? Well, why is this the area where Kenny takes time out to mock this? You know, he doesn't do it with other things. Why this? Why is he seized on this? Because listen to Fox's Shannon Bream and Brigadier General Robert Spalding talking about the coronavirus and what our military knows and what they've seen in China.
Right. And there are other workers who are out there that are responsible for the cremation of the bodies. The numbers that they're saying about how they can barely keep up with it doesn't match the official tally that we're getting. We understand some of the deaths there are being classified as pneumonia or other things that could possibly be related or similar, so that we're not getting numbers. We don't think. We don't know. We have no way to know. There was a piece on followcn.com, which does a lot of reporting on Chinese culture and what's going on there. They said this: China built a lab to study SARS and Ebola in Wuhan, and U.S. biosafety experts warned in 2017 that a virus could, quote, escape the facility that's become key in fighting the outbreak. They go on to say this: the Wuhan National Biosafety Laboratory is located about 20 miles from the Hunan seafood market, and some have wondered if the outbreak's epicenter is coincidental. But scientific community currently believes that the virus mutated through and jumped to people through animal-human contact at the market. The New York Times just a short time ago tonight had an article out with a lot of new interesting details and claims. They say they're now going house to house, checking on people, taking anyone they think is sick out, putting them into these massive warehouses for quarantine. And they quote the vice premier, Sun Chunlan, who is the top official leading the country's response to the virus, saying this: the city and country face, quote, wartime conditions. There must be no deserters or they will be nailed to the pillar of historical shame forever. I mean, the videos that are leaking out and the things that we're hearing, they seem, you know, borderline apocalyptic in some places.
Well, and it's not the most humane place.
Yeah, that's enough. So, look, this is the commie Chinese again. This is the type of stuff they do. This is the type of system they have. And that propels Jim Kenney, so concerned about this, to make sure people realize it's safe. So, you know, I guess next he'll be telling us that Philadelphia is not a filthy city. Maybe he'll do some things to prove that. What else should, where should we send Jim Kenney to make these points about safety that he was making at dinner last night? I don't know. Do reporters ever ask him? You're drinking a Diet Coke there. How many of them do you drink a day? How many a week? Aren't you setting a bad example about obesity? How much do you weigh?
How about take a walk on the Schuylkill Expressway?
Okay. There, well, that's yes. Seems pretty safe.
Yeah.
All right. So the coronavirus, Jim Kenney has stilled the fears here in Philadelphia. Now, we've spent a lot of time this week. We've had great sound from Nanny Bloomberg being here. Here is our salute, Joe Sebelia's masterwork of Nanny Bloomberg taking over. It's a new sound of music.
If you thought Mary Poppins was a tough cookie, wait till you meet the Banks children's new nanny.
Jade, look who's flying into the window. It's our new nanny, Mike Bloomberg.
Oh, Nanny Bloomberg, may we have a spoonful of sugar?
To help the medicine go down?
No.
Why not?
Obesity kills.
I'm 62 pounds. You call that obese?
Nearly all of us have struggled to maintain a healthy weight, and I can tell you from personal experience, particularly as you get older, it is a struggle.
It's just a spoonful of sugar. How bad can it be for our health?
This is something that could be, should be, is, not should be, is detrimental to your health.
You can't make us stop eating a spoonful of sugar.
With so many children who are overweight and obese, we believe it is reasonable and responsible to draw a line, and that is what the Board of Health has done.
Mary Poppins, take us with you. We hate this nanny's new rules.
That's America.
That's why he's late. I think he's basking in the adulation from how good this was.
What movie was that a parody of, though?
Sound of Music.
No. Mary Poppins.
Oh, why did I say Sound of Music? Yeah. I'm sorry,
come on.
When he said that going into it, me and Joe looked at each other like, wait.
Well, they're both Julie Andrews movies, and they both are kind of like nannies. So.
Right. There's no Nazis in this one and all that stuff.
No.
Right. Okay, Mary Poppins. Sorry about that. Don't call here and correct. All right, Mary Poppins, but that summarizes the threat this guy. Just humorless. I could see him with the kid. Put down that sugar right now. You know, the Board of Health is coming over here. All right, our side question of the day, and we'll send you off to the great Down and Derby in May. All kinds of wines. I'll be interviewing some of the wine purveyors that will be there. And, of course, the Derby festivities. Dan suggested this. The Oscars are on Sunday. So I said, I like movie quotes. We got a lot of good stuff. But this is a little bit more difficult. Maybe. We'll see if people fess up to this. If it's a great film, if there's something really good about it, male or female, it can bring you to tears. There's a point where, and it might not even be sad, you well up. So, Dan, I think the closing scene in Remember the Titans does it for me. One of the scenes when Rocky, and Rocky Balboa definitely does it. There are a couple for me, and they're not tears of sadness. They're tears of great joy. How about you?
You know, we talked about it before the show that us being men, it's usually not sad stuff that we're crying at. It's, you know, triumphant stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, my go-to for when I teared up, I was younger, but I still do. I've seen the movie probably 800 times now, and about half the times I will tear up when it happens. But it's when the Mighty Ducks finally win the championship. The underdog overcomes his journey and realizes the win.
All right, so we'll get Joe's in the 10 o'clock hour. All you have to do when you call, at the end of your call, what's the scene, what's the film? It's probably a scene, not a whole film. That would be too much. Where you feel it coming and you start to well up. Rocky Balboa does it for me. Remember the Titans. There are several scenes in there, though, but particularly the ending of Remember the Titans is unbelievable. 855-839-1210. You hit us with yours when you call. I've never called in before. Give it a try. That's all you have to do at the end of your call. Just hit us with that. Coming up, we'll give you a little bit of Nancy Pelosi yesterday. Wow. Talk about unhinged. And just one point to make. We are not attacking. No one called me yesterday, and the media just spinning this, saying people are attacking Mitt Romney's religion. What we're attacking is this guy saying he's better than others because he's following his religion and they're not following theirs, wrapping himself in this to get out from under. This was a weasel move. That's what it is. We're not attacking the Mormon faith. That's the media spin today. It's amazing. It is Dom time. Welcome in. So this just came down. This just in. January adds a much stronger than expected 225,000 jobs. 225,000. And I'm looking at the stats again. 12 straight months of under 3.6. Historic in so many categories. Here's the thing, though. You know, I don't believe in talk radio when you take a position that you tell people, forget about that. Never mind. Don't look at that guy over there. You know, the Wizard of Oz. I was never a believer. A lot of you were not. That we were going to see this sort of acceleration in wages, though. Okay. I said, you know, the unemployment, that's going to be great. Tax cut and all that. But not sure about the acceleration. Story out today, CNBC and others talking about the acceleration of wages, particularly blue collar. And I have a story, a big Gallup. This is one of Gallup's biggest. A whopping 90% of Americans are satisfied with their personal lives, an all-time high for this Gallup poll, which reaches back 41 years to 1979. Also setting a record high are those who say they're very satisfied with their personal lives. That number is 65%. That is the highest since that question was first asked in 2001. Only 25% say they're somewhat satisfied. I'll give you the breakdown, though, what the Democrats say about that. Those are unbelievable numbers. That's what's going to count in the general election. Stuff like this. Not just the economy, but satisfied with your overall. And Dan has that point. In the big speeches, the button-up speeches, President Trump is going low energy. We have a cut of Nancy Pelosi that we'll play today saying he was drugged. You know, Nancy Pelosi probably wants your analysis before the next State of the Union, before any big speech. Trump's going to have to pee in a cup because she says he looks like and sounds like he's sedated. See, they don't like it when Trump takes that even tone in those big moments, those big speeches like that. So now, Sedategate. What was Trump on when he gave that State of the Union? What kind of sedative calmed him down during that? Can you imagine? I like to give these people, I like to give Nancy, no, I don't think we want to give Nancy Pelosi that. God only knows. Is Botox something that comes up in the wash? And it is strange. I know, you know, it's a tough thing if your teeth are misaligned, dentures and all that. But you would think someone that's worth $150 million would get dental implants or something, right? I don't quite understand that with Nancy Pelosi. But now, your analysis. That's what we need. All right, let me go to Janet in Worcester. She's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Janet, good morning.
Hi, good morning. My comment is basically, I know that it's a little unsettling to have Nancy Pelosi as the highest Italian-American, of which I am one, but I also happen to be Catholic, and what really bothers me is that she is the highest Catholic person, but also that she invokes her Catholicism. Really, to those people who believe, it's upsetting when she uses it and when she doesn't.
Well, right, and what's upsetting to me is this. It all comes back again, doesn't it, Janet? To the bishops who can prattle on, tell the rest of us. The Pope yesterday put out a long diatribe about income inequality and a list of things that people are going to have to give up. And yet, When it comes to the issue of infanticide here with these people, they will not challenge them. This would put a stop to it. This would really, really put a stop. I agree. It rankles me, but I'm angry at them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Well, in fact, we're getting close, and this is going to be treated, you know, with the utmost respect. We think the new bishop might come in studio and do an interview. We're getting close to that, and I'm going to ask him. You know, I think he's a forthright guy. Well, why is it that you feel this is outside? This is the gospel in life here in America. You can't get this rub as a Catholic. Lie to Catholics, and then get the extreme pro-choice infanticide thing going on. You can't do both things publicly.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely.
What's your film? So,
my movie is Field of Dreams. At the end of the movie, when the father looks at him and says, "Do you want to have a catch?" That just gets me every time.
Oh, yeah. That is a great line. Absolutely. Thank you, Janet. 855-839-1210. Let's go to Robert in Old City. Hey, Robert, good morning.
Hey, I think Kenny ought to take a little stroll down 2 Street.
yeah, given what he said about the Mummers. Yes.
The Mummers Parade.
Yes.
They'll love him down there.
Yeah, and that's his bailiwick. That's where he came from. That you're exactly right. That's a good one. What's your film?
Oh, it's hard for me to say. I'm going to try to get it out. You made me think of it. The Return of the Jedi. I was 13 or 14 when that came out, and I cried in the movie theater, and I could never understand why. My friends made fun of me, of course. And later on, I figured out it was because when Darth Vader died, I was in between period between being a child and a man, and I wouldn't be a child anymore. So my childhood basically died with him.
Darth Vader crying. That's pretty good, Dan. Now, Dan, here's a question, too. I may have to go to Joe on this because you're well past this with Maisie. If you go to a film like this, this is a tough one. You're the male, right? And let's say Luke all does, but I don't advise going on a first date or a second date or something like that to see a film unless the film is a Zapruder film that you know what's in there and all that. Because you don't know the person, and you're reacting. Could you cry if you're not really in a relationship yet with someone when you go out, on a date?
As a male, no.
Yeah, you can't do it.
No.
Joe, you said
I did that on an amusement park ride. It didn't go over too well.
Why were you crying on an amusement park ride?
I was scared. The thing just dropped you.
He wasn't tall enough to ride.
I was screaming like a girl and crying, and the girl just laughed at me.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So you agree you can't do it. That's why we had a guy, the first show I ever did with Lou Gall, that called in and said for a first date, Silence of the Lambs. He had gone on a first date with that.
That's creepy.
I get the strategy, though, and I support it.
Which is the woman will feel, move closer. Mm-hmm. She's going to think you're a creep if you're saying Silence of the Lamb.
I don't think so.
The all-time great movie scene, and you can Google this, I think, is Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate takes Catherine Ross to a strip club on the first date.
I cannot Google that.
Yeah.
No. We are at work.
No, there's nothing wrong. I mean, no, it's not. Oh, you could just put up adult entertainment, something.
Yeah.
And
I'm not taking that risk.
No, but there's nothing shown. It's just the audacity. He's trying to turn her off. That's a setup date and all that. That's a pretty bad first date.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I just want to put it out there, Dom. We did have an EAS test cut us off at the end of Robert's call. So just want to put it out there.
Okay.
He said the death of Darth Vader made him cry.
Okay. Did not know that. I just kept talking as a true professional.
Yeah, right. You would.
855-839-1210. You get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210. Coming up, we'll play you a little bit of Nancy Pelosi yesterday. And keep on hit is, what's the scene in a film? Here's the other thing I wanted to ask. Dan, are you watching the Oscars?
No.
You're not at all. You have no interest
in
this.
No, I should rephrase. Yes, I'm going to watch them because I have to. But if I had a choice, I would not watch them.
Joe, you're watching, right?
I don't know.
Mr. Entertainment? Look, I'll
admit better things to do.
Joe, you can watch it for me.
I'm going against the fall. I would watch it even if I didn't have to for the show. I would.
Really?
Yes. I mean, it's I'm not going to let them steal everything. How many things are we going to give up is my attitude towards, I get it. Make the numbers so low, they'll change your behavior. I don't know if they're going to change their behavior.
Mine's not even in protest. I just think it's incredibly boring. I think they've really dulled it down, and yeah, it's just not, it's not a fun watch anymore.
That's a good point. I'm looking for someone admitting they're going to watch the Oscars, though. Right? 855.
There's no host. I mean, I actually think so. I actually think it's a smart idea to get rid of the host. At the same time, there's no host, so I don't have much of a reason to watch someone crash and burn. So there's no.
That's how we're watching for. I'm watching for some of the negative too. This doesn't do it for me. I reject that.
I have shivers right now.
Oh, my God.
I really do.
I reject that. We're talking our side question here. Come on, Dan. On the
this was an incredible movie, Dom.
It's all right.
It was so good. I loved it. This was one of my favorite movies that came out the past 3 years.
Oh, goodness. All right. So the moment that makes you tear up, maybe not start bawling, but tear up, often it could be positive. The throw of that. That's the best kind of crying, I think, or tearing up.
I'm sad to admit there was at least three times during A Star Is Born where I actually did cry.
Joe, make sure you cut that. Give me that as a drop. Every day next week, we're going to drop that in. Three times during A Star Is Born. Oh, that's way over the line. I'm shocked.
It wasn't like bawling crying. Trying to hide it from Maisie, you know, like wiping the eyes, like looking away so she won't see me getting misty. But yeah.
If I said that, boy. I never would live the end of it. You'd be playing that for all time. I'm not saying anything like that. All right, let me go to Alice in Huntington Valley. Hey, Alice, good Friday. Welcome in.
Thank you. I love your show, Dom.
Thank you, Alice, very much.
First time I've ever called a radio show.
Well, thank you. We love hearing that.
I am 70 years old, and I've been a conservative my whole life. My political heroes are Ronald Reagan and Bill Buckley. And This speech this week was the best State of the Union I've heard since Reagan. It was like the ending of it was truly Reagan-esque, I thought. And when Nancy Pelosi ripped up those papers, you know what? It didn't make me angry. I just thought, consider the source. They're like a bunch of three-year-olds. They don't get their own way. They're not going to play. And that's the end of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Why is it Democrats even, are they, I guess it's too hard to fake. We like to believe, look, no one knows, is America, you know, going downhill or not? All the evidence points it's not. But when in doubt and you don't know, people get rallied by accentuating the best is yet to come for us. Who would try to reject that as a political philosophy? It's insane.
I have no idea. It just doesn't make any sense. The only thing I can think is they have no concept of what truth is. It's whatever they think it is at the second that they're thinking, you know, when they think.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, I agree. It's the idea that there's no objective truth. And the objective truth points to the fact that our best days are ahead. And it's the philosophy of expectations. If we expect that,
absolutely,
then that's more likely what's going to happen. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And he's proven it. He's proven it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all I wanted to
say.
Well,
that's a lot that you said. Yeah. What's your film?
My movie, the last 15 or 20 minutes of Schindler's List.
Oh, boy. Yes. That's tough stuff. That's a good one. Thank you, Alice. Have a nice weekend.
It'd be tough to beat that one.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if those are tears of joy. To some degree, they might be. Okay. I would say this, Schindler's List, for how dark, how overwhelming the subject is not in the end a dark film, though. You do feel, at the end of that, she's right, you do feel sort of some kind of triumph against all odds. That's the way I would put it. That there were things and people that overcame, despite what they face.
I think it's such an intense movie. It's almost like a weight lifted off your shoulders as a viewer.
Oh, yeah.
At the end. And it's
almost, I'll give you the most intense ever. We wanted to see, because of all the controversy around The Passion of the Christ with Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm. So the two producers and I went to Springfield Theater. And we came out of there. These people are in line asking us about the film. What do you mean? We're glassy-eyed when we came out of there. Mm-hmm. And there were all kinds of things, like people bought stuff like it was an ordinary film, that were left there, like a big thing of popcorn. Person never ate it.
Yeah,
And then this guy makes the fatal mistake to come in and lecture. There would be no outburst and all that. Imagine. These people are saying the rosary there. So I stand up and say, hey, do you say that to every film? The guy looks at me like, you SOB, you know, that kind of thing. And then the film starts. All right, let's go to Joe in Columbus. All right, Joe, what's your film? Good morning.
Rich, it's dual scenes, back-to-back, Brian's song. When Gail Sayers is over top of Brian's bed.
Right.
And then the next scene, he goes to that awards ceremony and tells everybody when they get home they better hit their knees.
Well, when he when he pauses and says, I love Brian Piccolo.
Everybody in my fourth grade class was crying the next day.
Yeah, that is a great moment, great acting, and based on a true story.
It's such a great answer, but I feel like I got to dock him some points for not knowing your name.
Well, at least he didn't say Don. You know, we haven't had a Don in about, Joe must be doing a pretty good job of something there, because I haven't heard Don now in about a month or two. Other than people kidding on Twitter, they know I get it, that they know the name.
Would you rather be called Don or Rich?
Rich is probably better. They're mixing shows, and I think the Don thing just sends me, yes, it sets me off into that, you know? I start the whole thing.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.